Hi, my name's Will Dobson. I use the Motorola Droid X and a Zoom Wi-Fi only tablet. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 61 for Thursday, June 23rd, 2011. And we are now a tiered podcast. I am your host, Phil Nickinson. I am the editor of AndroidCentral.com and other things I like to edit in my spare time, I suppose. And with us again this week, we have Jerry Hildenbrand from the site.
Howdy, everyone.
And Corey Streeter from the Android Central forums.
Good evening.
And from thecellphonejunkie.com, we have Mickey Papillon.
And apparently I'm the lowest tier, but at least I'm economical.
What are you talking about, lowest tier? You're at least you're at least like the 5 gigabyte tier. Tier 2.
I was feeling, but you know, but my overages are more like, you know, $1.99 a meg, so kind of rough.
I don't even know where we're going with that.
Feels like the 80 gig kind of tier.
I am the one you paid way too much for and regret later. So welcome to the podcast. We're doing two in a row. It's 2 weeks in a row now. We are back. We have not disappeared. And we have brought all you guys along with us. If you're joining us for the very first time, we do this live on Thursday nights. And we have a chat room. Hi, chat room. How are you guys? We can all communicate with each other and be social and all that good stuff. And we will record this for posterity. And you can listen to it at your leisure. So what do you guys want to talk about? We got a lot of stuff going on right now. Literally, as we are speaking right now, there's a live Evo 3D event going on, a live event going on. I guess you wouldn't have a recorded event going on out in Los Angeles. And Ashley Escada is covering it for us, so we'll have stuff on that in the morning, perhaps. Maybe even tonight. We'll see. What else do we have? We mentioned tiered stuff, so we have Verizon's new tiered data plans. What do you guys want to start with? Yeah, you want to start with that?
Let's talk about the plants.
You want to talk about the plants?
Yeah.
Let's get the bad stuff out of the way first.
Well, who wants to launch? We got basically everything there is to know about these plans now. They've been rumored before. They're still, actually, let's preface all this. It's still very unofficial. Verizon has not officially announced any of this stuff publicly. But we got the plans. We got Verizon's documents stating the plan. So it's really the first real proof that we have of this. And let's talk about it. So we call them tiered data plans. And what exactly does that mean? First off, Verizon's unlimited data plans are going out the window. They're going goodbye. AT&T's already done this, actually, so Verizon is the second one in the States to do it. So you'll be able to get a 2-gigabyte plan for $30, 5-gigabyte plan for $50, or 10-gigabyte plan for $80. If you go over your allotment, it's $10 for another gigabyte, you know, for every gigabyte thereafter. So if you use 8 gigabytes of data, you're actually going to be paying $70 instead of $50. But for $80, you could get twice as much data in a 10-gigabyte plan. So that's kind of where they're going with it. At face value, right? I mean, it doesn't sound like the end of the world. You know, I don't want to buy more data than I think I'm going to use. And that's kind of the idea, right? So, I mean, guys, why is everybody freaking out about this?
Because it's a change. I mean, it's not unlimited anymore. It's this system where you have to choose what you want, and where once you essentially had, and we all know it wasn't really unlimited. If you pushed the envelope, then you were going to potentially have an issue with the carrier. But we went from having essentially 5 gigs, right? We'll just call it 5 gigs of data for $30 a month, called unlimited. But you didn't get charged unless you did it regularly. And now it's for $30 a month, you only get 2 gigs. And if you want that actual hard cap 5 gig limit, you now have to pay $20 more a month just to get that same amount of data. So I think it's unsettling. We knew this was coming. It's not like we were just totally, you know, in a situation where we figured this was just not going to happen. We knew it was going to. We just didn't know when. And so I think that's probably the biggest reason. It's just because you're getting less for more money, or you're getting the same amount for more money, or less for, I don't know. You know what I mean?
So this made me go back and look at my data usage. I usually don't monitor it at all, because I use Wi-Fi a lot of the time. So I went back and looked at my data usage. You know, I have a Thunderbolt and it's 4G and it uses a lot of data. And it, you know, I've gone over 2 gigs 3 months in a row. So there is no way I'd be able to get away with the, you know, 2 gig. I'd have to go with the $50 plan in order to just use this phone.
The other reason people are upset, though, is because currently you can have unlimited data for $30, right? So that's a big difference, at least in the perception.
Right.
And now you get only 2 gigs for that amount.
And there's no way to save money. And they keep pushing the words that it'll be a savings. I don't see how it can be a savings.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point because on AT&T, you've got, 250 megs for $15. So if you're one of those people who's on Wi-Fi all the time and just need to get, you know, your occasional email or send out a Facebook status update while you're on the go, 250 megs is more than enough. And so you can actually save $15 a month from dropping your unlimited plan and going down to that. And there's nothing like that here other than, the 75 meg plan, which I don't know. This kind of goes back to the whole, you know, comparing text messaging from carrier to carrier, where it's not apples to apples. You know, one had 200 messages, the other had 500 messages. So I guess maybe you could say if you just really need it occasionally, 75 megs is enough. But for most people, especially, you know, for this, the context of this show, Android devices are using about 500 megabytes of data per month, you know, give or take a little bit. And so there's not a good plan for that. So they're basically saying now you're at $30. You only get 2 gigs now.
I was going to say there must be something wrong with my phone then, because I don't use that. I don't stream movies. I don't watch YouTube, radio, or anything like that. I'm a regular user. Like I said, it's usually connected to my Wi-Fi when I'm at home. And somehow this phone still uses 2 gigs a month. And I think the majority of people in the forums and the majority of the people I'm talking to, even in the chat room here, I'm seeing a lot of people saying 2-4 gigs is not unusual for them to go over that. So maybe there's something wrong with this Thunderbolt. I don't know. But with 4G networks, with LTE networks, it seems like that's a really low cap for that much money.
Well, my biggest fear, and Corey, I think you hit it right on the head. You don't know exactly how you're using 2 gigs a month. I wonder how much of that 2 gigs a month that HTC Sense is using without you even trying to use it.
That's a great question. These data arrows on my phone they're flashing a lot. Like I was up in Canada. I was driving around going to my hotel for business and I had all the data switches turned off and the thing was still flashing. It was still sending data. I couldn't make it stop. So I don't know. Maybe something's wrong with the Thunderbolt. That'd be a shocker.
I think Android phones, no matter what, are going to use a lot of data.
Yes.
If I were looking at this, and this is me not even knowing how much I use a month. I guess I should tell you what. While we're talking, I'm going to open it up and look and see how much I've been pulling on an AT&T. Android phones, for what they are, you know, are going to suck a lot of data. They're designed to. That's not a bad thing. Except that we're starting to get really, really nickel and dimed. If I were looking at this Verizon plan and I saw it, I would probably do the 5 gigabyte plan. That's a nice middle of the road thing. You know what? $50 a month for that isn't horrible, I don't think. If you, you know, look at the numbers and compare them, well, yeah, you're probably not getting as much. But A, and I said this in a post earlier this week, Verizon's out to make money. You know, don't make any mistake about that. Their job is to make money as a company off you. That's not evil. That's not wrong. That's their job. And two, Verizon's network is damn good. You get what you pay for, guys. And LTE is excellent if you've got it. If you don't have it now, you know, we need to talk a little bit. But then if you don't have LTE, you probably don't need a 5 gigabyte plan. I'm willing to bet.
Right.
No.
I'm going to have to disagree there.
Really?
I used 19 gigs last month, and that's what.
Whoa.
That's HSPA plus.
Well, but you're not a normal user.
Right.
Let's talk about that. What did you do to get 19 gigs? Because that is excessive.
Yeah.
That is.
I do everything. I mean, I know that it's, you know, unlimited. I still have an old, supposedly will never be throttled T-Mobile plan. I don't trust that. I know one day they're going to tell me that that doesn't exist anymore. And guess what? You get to be throttled just like everybody else. But, I mean, I do all my music. I play it over my phone. you know, my Wi-Fi here, I use it sometimes. Sometimes I don't. I don't really have a reason why I don't use it. I guess, you know, I was so long with really slow internet on my phone that once I got it a little bit faster, maybe I overreacted and I enjoy it so much I just use it. But most of that, I would have to say, is HBO Go and Google Music.
Are you using it for any sort of tethering?
No, that's not tethering. I've got a Sprint Overdrive I tether with.
Okay.
Jeez.
Do you carry around a cooler to keep it in?
No. It mostly stays at the house anymore. It just, I know exactly what you mean.
So, all right. I'm still, HBO Go, maybe. I can see the video side. I mean, especially with the Sling Box, you know, I've seen that. Absolutely. You can go through, without even really thinking about it, you can go through, you know, like half a gig an hour.
Right.
And so I can see that. But so are you saying you pretty much use that every day? You know, is that what's doing? 'Cause, I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's almost, 750 megs a day. That's a lot of data.
My wife goes to bed early, and I like to stay up late, and most nights I'll hop into bed and grab the Nook Color and go.
All right.
All right, I pulled my AT&T data here.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm sorry, Phil.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was just
going to say, come to think of it, on my Nook Color, that's all on Wi-Fi, so that's not even counting against my 19 gigs. So I don't know.
So here it is, December 2010, 0.3 gigabytes, 0.4, 0.5, 0.7, 1.1 in April, and then 0.2 in May. Of course, I'm sitting on Wi-Fi at home most of the time now, but still, I would have thought like...
Exactly.
Like February would have been a lot higher for me. January would have, between CES. I traveled a lot in February. It must not count my out-of-country data. March, what did we have in March? March, we had CTIA, so still under a gig. April, what did we do in April? Did I go anywhere?
I'm sure you did.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah, you were up in New York or something.
But, yeah, probably.
But that usage is very similar to mine. You know, usually I'm under a gig. I've been doing a lot more testing recently. I don't know if you've seen any of the 4G upgrades yet from AT&T, but... I wrote a post over at the Cell Phone Junkie today about some issues that I was going through. And one of the things that led me to actually trying to go through those issues was the fact that I think I'm maxing out a 7.2 megabit per second device now on AT&T. I cannot get speed test the top 6.2 megabits per second. So, and I'm pretty sure with the overhead, that's about as fast as I'm going to get. And I thought that was pretty interesting. So, but that use I think is very normal. Especially when you're on Wi-Fi. I'm on Wi-Fi during the day. I'm on Wi-Fi when I'm at home. I'm on everywhere that I can hop on it. I do, just because it's faster. The latency is less, and the latency is a big thing, and that'll make it a much even a better experience. Even if you're on a simple DSL line, because the page loads are faster.
These are not just LTE plans, though. This is for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right.
So, yes. I mean, yeah. Your argument that, you know, Verizon's got a great network and they have 4G, they don't in most places, right? They do in some of the major areas, but for a lot of people, they don't have that option. So they're going to get pinged.
No, I think you need to go back and look at the list. It's growing significantly, and we just had a whole bunch more cities get lit up 2 days ago. Now, I mean, that said, if you don't have LTE, you don't have LTE, right? But look, I've got it here. I mean, smaller cities are getting it now. It's not just the major cities. I'm not saying that the plan's not changing, because it certainly is. And I'm not saying that, you know, if you're looking to be a new Verizon customer, you might end up paying more than somebody did a year ago. That's life, folks. It might suck, and very well, you know, I'm sorry if you have to stomach it, but I think you get what you pay for. And if that's the way they're going to do it and you want to pay for the service, then, I mean, you could certainly do worse.
Well, and I have to agree. It's, you know, you decide if it's worth paying for it, you pay for it. I'm not going to lie. If I could get LTE here, I probably would pay for it.
Let me compare it to this. My old job, the newspaper, right? The newspapers are getting thinner and thinner and crappier and not, you know, 100% nationwide. This is the trend, but I mean, let's face it, most places it's not getting much better. Plus, a lot of newspapers raised their rates, right? I'm not sure about delivery, but at least our single copy sales, we went from 50 cents a paper to 75 cents to, I think it was like $2 on Sundays or whatever it is. And you're doing that, but the paper's not getting better. The paper's not getting bigger. You know, they'll, you know, try to tell you that you're getting better value somehow, but I'm not betting on it. This is the opposite, I think, right? They're rearranging the billing structure, but you're getting a hell of a network out of it. And that's not just me, like, pimping Verizon. You know, that's me using Verizon every day and being pretty happy with it. I'm not even paying for it. The company's paying for it. So how about that?
Well, that makes a big difference. It does.
Well, I mean, if it sucked, I wouldn't use it. I would love to use T-Mobile. I loved T-Mobile while I was down in Miami. You know, I get home, I can't use it. So,
Yep, and T-Mobile is hit and miss, and there's no way anybody can deny that.
Well, you know, you got a good point. It's like they're the best of the worst. I mean, they're all kind of...
Yeah, I mean, we all love to hate our carriers, right? Does anybody love their carrier out there? Yeah.
I used to.
Yeah. Let's talk about the grandfather clause real quick. Some people ask what that means. Basically, when a carrier changes plans like this, they don't immediately tell you, oh, well, you now have to use this new plan, because that would actually be grounds to terminate your contract and you'd be free and clear. So if you have a current contract with Verizon, come July 7th, which is the date everybody's using, including Verizon, I guess, in the internal stuff we've seen, if you have a current contract, you get to keep it. And the big question was, when you upgrade, do you get to keep it? Because that used to be the way it was. Like, Sprint had those awesome zero plans.
So I'm sitting in a restaurant the other day having drinks with a friend, and he gets this text message from Verizon. He's on the plan that they were doing for, so you could have like 5,000 minutes in the States, and then when you go to Canada, you get roaming and data and all that included. So he gets a text message saying that they're terminating that plan. At the end of his contract, he'll be switched over to something different. Hmm. So there's an example. I guess they will do that, and who knows if they'll do that with this too. But he was
The leaked materials we've got, it says when you go to upgrade your phone, you get to keep your old plan. And that's a big deal, because that's why people still hang on to their zero plans, because they're like
right.
cheap, you know, like 20, 30 bucks for plan. And
but I'm just worried that what if, you know, August the 7th, oh, we're changing our talk plans, and now you pay, you know, $49.99, 750 minutes, unlimited text. Everybody says, oh, sign me up. Oh, that'll change your plan, and we get to sign you up for the new data plan.
You're not going to be able to choose it anymore. You are stuck on that plan. Make your changes before the 7th or forever hold your peace. It doesn't matter.
And learn to love what choices you make, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
So say we all.
Just keep in mind that they may still change it.
Well, but changing your plan is a material change of your contract. You're signed into a certain contract. If they say that they're going to change your plan, then you can say that, all right, I don't want to continue my service with you.
That seems to be fine with them.
Yes,
they're doing that anyway. Yeah,
yeah. So, and if you don't like it, you can leave. That's how it works.
Yep. I mean, it's tough love, but that's the way it is. Welcome to America, I guess. I know everybody in Europe has like tuned us out for the last 20 minutes, and I don't blame them. But and I do get emails from people like, you know, but
hey, I remember the days when Sprint had that whole first incoming minute free thing, and it's like I didn't want to lose that, so I just hung on to that plan forever, even when there were better ones. I did not want to let go of that little feature.
You want to talk about the Evo 3D a little more?
Yeah,
shall we?
Nah, nobody wants to hear about that.
It's a hot phone. Let's talk about it.
I think we need to. So by the time many of you will be listening to this recorded version, the Evo 3D will be out. We've had ours for what, about a week now, and I'm loving this phone. I think it's really, really good. None of you guys are getting one, probably.
I don't know.
Yeah, is it enough to get you to switch?
The data price increase, and then reading the article about being able to remove the bloatware. And the speed, the little speed test you did with that, I don't know. I'm thinking about
got
it.
Got you sucked in. They've got Corey.
It's possible. It is a nice phone. I'll say this now because I know everyone's waiting. I don't think I'll have my review ready by the morning. Sorry, folks. It'll be done as soon as it's done. But you know, I think the bottom line is it's a hell of a phone. And God, you know what? I got hate mail over the 3D thing. I got like nasty. I got nasty Jeez. Hate mail from people. You know, about you just don't like 3D, so you suck. Well, I don't like it, and it's not as good as the LG Optimus 3D. It's just not. And I'm willing to that these trolls haven't used either one.
Right. Right. I know you've used both.
Yeah.
I fooled with the Evo 3D a little bit and the Optimus, and LG just does it better. There's no other way to say it.
No, it's two different technologies of 3D, right? I believe.
I don't know. I think they're both compatible.
And I know the 3D nerds out there are going to email us about it. And
right.
You know, one's parallax.
One gives you a headache and the other doesn't.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, the 3D on the Optimus 3D works better, period. End of story. I mean, there's no kind of two ways about it, I think. They didn't even give us, like, demo 3D videos on here, which is kind of insane when you're showing off 3D device. Give me a 3D video, right? I can go take my own, but I want to see, like, the really good-looking ones that they tweaked and spent time on to make this thing as good as possible, and there just aren't any in here.
Right, and then it goes back to you've seen that on the competitor's 3D phone, and that's going to make you think even harder. Why didn't HTC and Sprint do this for this one?
Well, we talked about it last week, but to me, all right, so there's the 3D just technologically the way it looks. And, I mean, this makes my head hurt. It's not good. And if you tilt it even just a little bit, the image doesn't, like, turn, it shifts, and it's, ow, it's just not good. I'm looking at it right now.
There are so many other things to like about that phone. They should have just dropped the 3D part of it and just called it something else.
And they have, and they're doing that in Korea. Is it the Evo 3G, 4G Plus or whatever?
4G Plus, yeah.
4G Plus, it's got an 8-megapixel camera, and it's basically the same phone. Yeah, except for the 3D part, this is an awesome, awesome phone. I even love the shutter button on it. The camera shutter, the physical button is really, really good. It's just 3D, whether it's the implementation or the way they've not just done the gallery, but, you know, we talked about it last week. LG has this whole 3D hub, basically, where they bring in all the content and the games and all that, and did a really nice job with it. Here, it's almost an afterthought, but not really, because they had to design the phone around it, but it's almost like, I don't want to say half-assed, but it's almost half-assed, or at least not as well done. I'm not going to say half-assed, because I really do think they didn't just, like, slap it in there, but like, here's 3D, go deal with it. LG's implementation is just better, period.
I didn't get enough time. Since last week, I have fooled with the Evo 3D a little bit. I've got a friend that works at a retailer that let me come and look at them. But, you know, I have to agree. There's something different there. I don't know if it's the technology. But the bigger thing is there's no software support behind it.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
What about Mickey? Any feelings on this whatsoever? Or is it just me?
I think it's probably, if you're on Sprint, it's the device to get, right? I mean, that's probably the best way to put it. I feel like features like 3D, if it's not something that you want, it's great that you can just turn it off or not even use it. And, it's nice to be able to use. I still am kind of not real thrilled with that button on the side. The switch, I should say, but I guess you know, get over it and take all the good for it.
It's not the sexiest looking phone on the earth, that's for sure. The speed of it, I'm very impressed by, and the new sense, but yeah, it's a little weird, that button and the bottom of it with the cassette tape looking thing.
Yeah. If it didn't have the 3D cameras, you know, it would look much different. The buttons I can live with. I mean, again, if you didn't have the 3D cameras, you wouldn't have the toggle switch. You might still have the shutter button, and I like it. It looks a little off, but you know what? They made it look different. They made it look decent. It's not just a little, you know, plastic button on other phones. They made it stand out. Yeah, it's fast. It's smooth. It's just good. I've had decent battery life. Wi-Fi works well. GPS works fine. I really have no complaints about this phone.
Kind of coming into its own, you know. HTC devices for sure. You're starting to see them really just kind of even out. You know, it used to be like one really awesome thing about the device, but now it's everything is you know. Let's get some more out like this, and some that don't have the 3D for the people that don't want it, and you know, maybe improve on the camera. Just focus on the regular camera, and people, I'm sure, will be happy with that. It's all about the, you know, the choice and having the selection.
What about being able to take the bloatware off? That's kind of a big deal.
Love that.
I like the way they did that. I mean, I can't verify it without one here, but it looks like what they did is instead of installing all that garbage where you have to look at it, they put stubs on the data partition, and if you want it, download it from the market, and if you don't want it, just delete it. That's the way it all should be done.
What do you think prompted them to do this? I mean, this is pretty revolutionary,
honestly,
actually.
Honestly, the mess with the G2 trying to update a lot of the Google apps that were baked into the ROM, mm-hmm. I think it's probably what got HTC thinking in this direction. Because that was a mess. I remember when I had one before it got released, there was a huge mess when Google Goggles updated. And then after it was released, there was another mess when Google Goggles updated, and then Google Earth. And, you know, that stuff's baked in. It makes it a whole lot harder to update from the market, and nobody wants to sit back and, oh, there's a new update out in the market, and I can't get it. I hate this G2. So, you know, that probably got them thinking that way.
It's not a bad decision by any stretch of the imagination, I think.
No, heavens no. That's great.
What else? We're going to have a really good little walkthrough of everything you need to know about the phone that Jerry's put together. We've already seen a couple updates to it that was kind of interesting. So one of them actually kind of broke it a little bit for some people. It doesn't look like it for everybody, but there's an update to... What did it fix? It fixed...
the icon, right?
I already forgot.
Or no, that... That's
no, that's
broke.
What it broke. It fixed the syncing. No, that was HTC Watch. That was the second one. I'm looking it up right now. Oh, it was a calendar.
Right, there. Mine just took a longer alert.
And calendar entries in certain formats force close while editing. So they fixed that, but the phone disappeared from the quick launch and the lock screen. So actually, I let HTC know about it. They're working on it, and I'm sure they'll fix whatever it is. In the meantime, we got a separate update to HTC Watch. And it was just an app update, but it was still done through the update this phone in the settings thing. So that was kind of interesting. That's the first time I've seen that, actually. So that's kind of the Evo 3D. You can go buy it for a couple $100, which is a really good price for this thing, actually, starting Friday. Woohoo!
I have to do that.
I've heard a couple rumors that if you run out to Walmart tonight, they'll probably sell you one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I heard a couple people let me know that they got theirs tonight. One guy, you know, he let me know that they got it... I think he said $89 because it's going to be on sale, and he got some sort of $14 discount. You know, that's just what I heard. Don't take me, you know, for my word. But that would make me run out and check if I still had Sprint.
When the Droid X came out, I heard the same thing about Walmart. So I got in my car and I drove to like 6 Walmarts, right, and never did find one. It was very upsetting.
All right, I want to move on to actually some other big news today. And the more I think about this, the more excited it gets me. Arcos has announced a new line of tablets, and they're Honeycomb tablets. And they actually have Android market access. So they are the, what do they call them, the G9. And they give these things ridiculously stupid names.
Yeah.
So you have the Arcos 80 G9 and the Arcos 101 G9, which is just horrible. So you have an 8-inch tablet and a 10.1-inch tablet. That's the 80, that's the 10.1. And if you look at the branding, anyway, just stupid names. That's all that matters. But they're both running Honeycomb. Interesting thing here. All right, so we heard this week Sasha Sagan from PC Mag is over in China actually hanging out with Huawei, and I don't know who else. But he got a little news out of Huawei, and they're doing a 7-inch tablet that's going to have Android 3.2. And apparently that's being made for 7-inch tablets. But here we have an 8-inch tablet with Honeycomb. Not the first one we've seen. Samsung's doing one. But they're saying it'll have Android 3.1. So that's kind of interesting, I guess. But really the news here is, A, they've got laptop hard drives in them. So these things have 250 gigabyte Seagate hard drives and not just flash memory. So you don't just get 16 or 32 gigabytes. You get 250 gigabytes. Take all your music and a lot of movies with you. You guys,
can you replace the battery?
I don't know.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Because that's going to kill the battery.
That's what people have said. And they've also said it'll make it heavier.
A lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, two pounds.
But what about this? Let's talk about the price. $279 for the 8-inch, $349 for the 10-inch.
And that's good. Wow. I mean, that's damn good.
It all sounds great on paper. I'd have to use it first.
So, we'll withhold judgment until we actually get the things in our hands. And in fact, Alex is going to go to an event next week in London and check them out. So, and yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
No, you go ahead, sir.
They're OMAP 4 tablets, not Tegra.
Right.
Which is good and bad. That means you don't get that NVIDIA support on the gaming end, and that's pretty cool, guys. But a OMAP 4 CPU is nice, really nice.
And they also have these 3G sticks that actually fit into the back of the things. And they're basically 3G modems that'll plug into this thing, and then it's pay as you go. So the tablets technically are Wi-Fi only, but you'll get sticks, for $50 a month, and then, or not $50 a month, but it's $50 total, and then pay as you go. So whatever that plan ends up being.
Which is a really cool idea.
Yeah, it really is. That's something different. I like that. To me, that's more useful than, and I'm going to get hate mail again, but that's more useful than a phone that plugs into a tablet.
Right.
To me. What do I know?
Well, I haven't used the new Arcos tablets yet, but I've used the phone that plugs into a tablet. And I don't think it'd be too hard to beat it. Sorry.
Do you think the price is going to... Yeah. Understandably, you're going to have manufacturing differences, right? So, obviously, a 250 gigabyte laptop-type hard drive. And now my phone's ringing.
Not me.
Nobody's picking it up either.
While we're waiting for that to pass, the best insult, someone says in the chat room, 3D is a gimmick. And someone just responded, your face is a gimmick.
I love that. That's like my favorite line.
All right, so obviously we have manufacturing differences. A laptop hard drive, a normal hard drive, costs less than flash memory, which we use in phones and tablets, right? We all know that. But do you think the prospect of a $350, Honeycomb tablet of that size is going to bring everybody else down some? It's going to bring other prices down?
Yep, especially stuff like the Vizio or, I don't know how much it's going to affect Motorola or Samsung or HTC, but, Vizio and Acer and Asus, they're going to have to look twice at their pricing.
Certainly hope so, but damn, that Samsung tablet's still nice.
Yeah, I had a coworker pick up one of those this week, and I was... Got to spend some time with it, and was reminded of a couple of things. I think the hardware is amazing. I put it next to my iPad, and I was like, boy, if I would have had the choice today to buy one or the other, I think I'd have a pretty hard choice not going for the tab. I mean, it's pretty nice. I like some of the features that Android brings, to it, but. At the same time, then you go, well, it's Honeycomb. It's still trying. It's still just missing a little bit. Obviously, the application support isn't there and stuff. So give it a little bit of time. And I think, I still think that's probably the way to go if you're going to buy something today.
We are slowly converting Mickey. Yeah. He's made a lot of progress in the last several months.
Well, that's kind of all I had on Arcos. Anything else? Hey, the Atrix bootloader is now unlocked, apparently.
Yep.
Woohoo! Cut the Rope's going to be here on Friday by the time this comes out.
Have you been paying attention to their hints on Twitter?
I have.
I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but if you search out what Android application store is, centrally located in an ex-Soviet state, it'll tell you that, you know, it's from Lithuania.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought they were kidding about that.
No. So did I. But, you know, I had a good idea where it was going to launch anyway, and I looked it up. Sure enough.
Nice.
I don't like that decision at all, but it's not my decision to make.
Well,
that didn't work.
We'll talk about it more next week.
Yeah.
So I want to know one more thing about the Evo 3D. You keep comparing the 3D with the LG.
Yes.
Optimus 3D.
Because it's so the other put the two, 3D phone out there.
Gotcha. But besides the 3D, which phone do you think performs better? And like which phone do you prefer? If you had to pick one.
It's been a while since I used a 3D because I gave it to Jerry. I would probably go with, me personally, I'd probably go with the Evo just because I'm probably more partial to HTC over LG. See, I hate to say that because LG really does make good stuff. And I just, I finally finished up the Revolution review. And like, it's a really good phone, except for the Bing thing. My question is, where does it fit in Verizon's lineup? Because if your differentiator on a phone is Bing, and we've, you know, said this a million times, then that's not going to sell anything. So.
No. And I dare not ask you the same question about the Sensation versus the Evo 3D.
I love the Sensation. Why would you not ask me that?
There's an all-out war in the forums over it.
Is there?
Yes.
To me, the reason I, for me personally, it comes down to where I live. I'm a little more in a Sprint black hole. Well, I mean, my Sprint black hole is only slightly better than my T-Mobile black hole. If networks weren't an issue for me, I might still well go with the Sensation. I just love the feel of it so much. I love the rounded feel. It's just thin enough. Whatever, you know, lag we've talked about on there, whatever lag is there, I think they'll fix at some point or it'll get hacked off.
Yeah, I imagine it's just different software version.
Yeah. And less RAM, people say. Say there is less RAM. I love, you know. It's tough, but I'd probably go with the Sensation. That's me.
Ooh. It does look better. It does look like it even feels better in the hands.
It does.
That's important. That's an important piece.
I've been called a shill for more manufacturers in the past week. You hate this.
I can tell.
Did you not read the review?
I can tell exactly what you're talking about though. When you're doing in that video, when you did the speed comparison,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
it's like when I went from the Incredible to the Evo 4G. There's just this like this. The Incredible was so fast, and I could just tell in your video it was that sort of difference between the Incredible and going to the Evo 4G, where there's just a little bit of like lag in the screen or something, like when you're flicking from side to side. And I could tell when I was watching that video that's what you were talking about.
And that's all it was. And if I hadn't had them side by side, I'd probably never notice. So, not, you know, the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination.
They both look, well, screen-wise, because they're both running since 3.0, they both mm-hmm. look really good.
Oh, yeah, and they're both QXD, or QHD. They both look really, really good, and I like Sense 3.0 a lot. Although, I've actually come to a very happy medium on my Thunderbolt, and I'm running the BAMFROM with the Sense lock screen and all that. So, and then I put ADWEX on top of it.
Wait, I want to do that. That sounds fun.
It's a big mess, but it's working well. So that's that. Well, should we do some emails and voicemails? We only got a few tonight.
Well, yes, I think we should.
I think we should, too. Okay, let's start with the voicemails, and we will start with Michael from Fresno.
This is Michael from Fresno. I have a question regarding if there's any kind of application that would allow me to not use my physical back button. I've got the MyTouch 4G, and I like the phone. I just get tired of the hard buttons, and I would like to see if there's any kind of application that would allow me to have a soft button or virtual button as the back button. And there's an application that I use that allows me to have a soft home button, but nothing that I could seem to find that where I could have a soft or virtual back button. Let me know if there's any application that would allow me to do something like that. Okay, thanks for the great podcast and keep up the fabulous work. All right, bye-bye.
Anything, when I first heard that, the first thing I wanted to say was go get the Optimus Black with the G button. But that's not really answering his question.
I'm just wondering if there's any some way somebody could make the soft buttons they use for the Nook Color work on, you know. That's going to need root and all sorts of mess. But, yeah, it could be done. I just don't know if it has been done.
True.
I can't think of...
Yeah, and I was chewing back and forth, but that's a really good answer if you could do it. Well, hunt around. All right, now we have Tony Bag of Donuts.
Yes, this is Tony Bag of Donuts from the Android Central forums and Crackberry forums. I'm just questioning Phil and the gang, especially Jerry, because you know your stuff. I was just questioning the value in Lookout, not the premium version, but the free version. I have a program called Phone Finder / Fetch It. If I lose my phone in my house nearby, it just turns the ringer up. But I am rooted, and I purchased titanium backup, so I have everything backed up on my SD card. And about once a week, I copy that to my local PC. So I didn't know the added value in purchasing Lookout or there's a new app called Phone Finder Pro out there. Unfortunately, there's no trial. So I didn't know if you guys had any expertise on which app to use. Keep up the good work. I am in mourning for the past couple weeks about Dieter, but I know you guys will soldier on. Take care. Bye.
Security, Jerry, that's all you.
Oh, geez. Well, first off, I get the shill emails about Lookout. And guys, I'm allowed to like Lookout. I like it. I use it. That doesn't mean that when I say something about it that I'm saying it only because I like it. I see the value in it. You know, it's the remote wipe, find my phone, and, you know, and all the premium features as well. But any app that's going to help you find your phone and has remote wipe options in it is a good app to have. You know, that's just it. Everybody's lost a phone, and if you haven't lost it yet, you will. You know, I lost my phone at Google I.O., and bless you, Mr. Developer, that I don't know your name, that found it and held it for me. Thank you very much. But it can happen. You set it down and get sidetracked, walk away, or it falls out of your pocket. You know, I think that's something we all should consider.
That would never happen to me. My phone is like my left arm.
Corey loses his phone in 3, 2, 1.
It's gone. Where is it?
Oh, yeah. You're so poking the bear.
Thanks for the jinx. Why do you get hate mail over it?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Over Lookout?
Yeah.
Everybody says there are no viruses for Android. Well, you know what? You're wrong. I can start sending them to you. Each time you send me hate mail, I'll send you a virus back if you'd like.
There you go.
You know, Phil knows we get all sorts of stuff that we need to look at. Say, hey, check out this new app. And you go check it out. And a lot of times it's somebody that sends you something just to mess with you. And they're there. And, you know, we've even seen them in the market. And I think that's what bothers everybody. They say, you know, that there are no viruses. You don't need all that. Well, you don't need it, but you need to do something. Either, you know, take care of it yourself, or you can depend on somebody else. You know, I depend on somebody else. They've done all the hard work. I let them do it.
Famous last words. I don't need it, right?
Right, exactly.
Or I'll never lose my phone.
Yeah.
That's it for the voicemails. Can you do a couple emails?
Let's talk to Chris. He writes to us. First email question by me to the right address. Apparently, last time I sent it to the wrong one, i.e. Phil. With the talk of the Nexus 4G, as in true to the name, having LTE, I was wondering, Rogers is launching LTE in Canada. I think they're the most active in Ottawa. Does that mean I can use LTE devices from Verizon on the same network? I wanted to see if this would open up a new world of devices, as I assume it would be some time before Rogers launches devices to go with the new network. Well, honestly, we don't have a lot of history with this yet, right? I mean, we are seeing an LTE network from Verizon that is pretty rolled out here, but it doesn't mean that that is going to be something compatible with what they're launching
right
up in Canada. So there's a couple of things at play. Obviously, the technology is going to be the same, so that's a plus. But two things: devices and frequencies. Are the devices going to allow roaming on other LTE networks around the world? Maybe, maybe not. We don't have a lot of experience with this. And also the frequencies that are out there. We've got everything from 7 and 8 and 900 megahertz spectrum that's potentially going to be used up to the 17, 18, and 1900 megahertz. And then potentially, what are we going to do with 2100 megahertz? And then is the Clearwire spectrum going to continue to be WiMAX? That's up at 2.5 gigahertz. So there's like seven different blocks of spectrum that we're talking about right now that we don't know who's going to be using what. And if Rogers, let me put it this way, if Rogers rolls out their LTE on 700 megahertz, then there's a better chance that we could see a device from Verizon being able to roam on it. But if they do it on some other band, I'm going to say probably not at this point. We don't have any experience. And there's also, I don't think, any dual band LTE devices out there yet.
Well, I know we have a Metro PCS has LTE in the States. And I don't think that the frequencies are compatible.
I think they're on 1700 megahertz.
But I also know that the carriers, Metro, and I tried. Metro PCS will not sell you a SIM card to use in a Verizon phone. Verizon will not sell you a SIM card to use in a Metro PCS phone. They don't even know about the frequencies. They don't even care. So that's going to be a big issue too, if it is compatible. Will you know, who do you say, tell us? Rogers, if Rogers says, you know, that's good, fine to go, you know, I guess you can try.
The word I'm hearing is Rogers' network is not going to be on the same frequency as Verizon.
Keep in mind, too, we're also talking about the LTE network, which is data at this point.
Right.
So keep that in mind, too, what we're talking about. It's kind of a bummer, right? I mean, we were kind of 2 years ago looking at LTE, you know, down the road as this one standard to get us all in sync and be able to use devices anywhere in the world and be able to use, you know, be okay. And it just doesn't seem like that is necessarily going to be the case. And I'm seeing a couple of conflicting reports, but it looks like there Rogers will potentially be using like the 1700 or 2100 megahertz band. But then there's also some stuff that says, well, they're, you know, going to be looking at stuff in 700 as well. So I'm not sure.
It'll suck if it doesn't.
Well, you know what's probably going to happen? Europe is going to be the same as it is now. You can buy a phone, put a SIM card in it, and it'll work on LTE. And then here in the States, we're going to be stuck buying carrier-branded phones again. And that's just a bunch of crap.
I guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
Yep, and that's something, you know what, FCC, if you want to earn all the money you make, put a stop to that. You know, let's get some sort of standard. I don't care how you do it.
Spectrum's a valuable resource, too. I mean, you're not going to just be able to, you know, create new spectrum. It is what it is. It's a finite resource, so that doesn't help either.
All right, Kenny writes, is there a way to stop syncing my Google account to my phone without my phone? Does that make sense? The reason is a security thing, right? If I were to lose my phone or if it were stolen, is there a way to disconnect my phone from my Google account? I'm thinking about subscribing to Lookout's premium services, which includes Wipe, but do you know if that will actually clear the synced accounts? If so, that may solve this entire concern, but if there's a way to control Google Sync without that premium package, even better. So, yeah, I mean, a wipe is a wipe. It wipes the phone. It clears all the accounts. It clears all the data on it. But that would be interesting, just kind of a remote way to unhook it.
I don't know. Couldn't you? You could go on the web and sign up for that two-step authentication.
Yes, yes.
And I'll bet that breaks the sync on your phone.
I bet that could.
I mean, I signed up for it.
If anybody uses Exchange, it's kind of the same thing, right? So there's an Exchange right. policy that will basically do that.
Somebody in the chat room said change the password. No, that doesn't work.
Oh, yeah.
I have changed the password, and until you clear the data in your Gmail account, and this is on 2.3.4, it will still sync without entering any new password on the phone. And I did that just a few days ago. You know, we all changed our passwords here recently and didn't have to do anything. Yep. And that really blew my mind. You know, and then when I changed the, you know, cleared the data in Gmail, popped up and asked me for my new password.
There you go.
And there, MGamer says it uses a token, not a password. That's right. You've got the token, and it's approved, and it's good. How long is it going to keep that token authorized is going to be the question.
I don't know.
I have absolutely nothing to add to that.
That sounds like a good place to stop. Mickey, wrap us up, will you?
If you have any questions for us, you can get in touch with us by sending email to podcast@androidcentral.com or by leaving a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Extension 222 is how you can do that for us. You can also follow us on Twitter. @AndroidCentral is the name for the site. You can also follow Phil @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GB Hill. Corey is @C Streeter. And you can hit up all the rest of the writers for the site over @AndroidCentral. This show and the entire site brought to you by the Android Central store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also place orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Woohoo! Cut the Rope on Friday. Evo 3D on Friday. Cars 2 is out now. I gotta go see that this weekend with the kid. Anything else?
That's it, I guess.
Another Friday.
Another Friday.
The podcast and the weeks, everything is going by faster for me.
Sure seems like
it. As I get older.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
We're doing another Mobile Nations podcast this week, apparently. If you haven't already, sign up for our daily mailer newsletter to varying degrees of spelling success. if you haven't yet, go order an Android Central t-shirt. They are still on sale. We have lots of stuff for sale in the Android Central store. What else?
Those t-shirts are friggin' awesome.
Yeah, they are.
I love my t-shirt.
They're still working on the really cool Universe one. I saw some of the samples they had, and because the way the shirts are made and the ink is done and all that, it's not just a matter of like slapping an image up there, so they're really taking their time in getting that one done right. So it'll be out eventually, but they're still working on it. So Jerry, Corey, Mickey, thank you. Chat room, thank you guys.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
All right, boys and girls, we're out of here. See you next week.